I'd like now to welcome back to the program Beth Kennedy Jones. She will be singing the Julie London Songbook along with the Burt Dalton Trio at the Cantina at La Casa Cena this coming Sunday and Monday, May 26th and 27th. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Always a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
It's always great to have you here. You do so many different things. You're an actor and a singer and director too, right?
I do.
And so last time you were on the show, you were directing a theater piece called Salt and Pepper, and there's going to be a full production of that coming up.
Yeah, we did the stage reading, and it was extremely well attended. Had to turn away 30 people, I think all because they listened to your program. Okay. But it went very well, and then they did a stage reading the next month in New York City. So they're doing a full production in New York in the fall, and we are doing a full production here in the fall, and they're doing one in Dixon next month, actually. So it's done very well.
Good. Well, we hope to talk about that just a little more when the time comes. But let us talk now about Julie London. Talk about languid, sultry, beautiful voices. And, I mean, as a human being, as a woman, she was an amazingly charismatic actress and singer. Have you always loved her?
You know, I think I always loved her, though I didn't know who she was. Because when I was approached by Stars Never Fade to be Julie London, I really had to do some research. And then I recognized that the way that I have sung Cry Me a River since I was much, much younger was the way that she sang it. And it is different. In fact, she even changes some words around. Those were always the words that I was using. So I'm sure that it was being played in my household. I was very, very young, so I don't remember, and I don't have any parents to ask them. But I think that she was in my life, you know, and certainly songs like Girl Talk and Wives and Lovers, I mean, they were just around. But I did not connect with Julie London, never saw the TV show Emergency. But it's been great doing the research because I've really gotten to know her and to know Bobby Troup and to fall so much in love with both of them.
She has a voice that reminds me of a really mellow tenor saxophone.
She would have loved to hear you say that. I mean, she really did think of her voice as an instrument. She never thought of herself as being a strong singer, but she did definitely know that she had a style. And she liked to, you know, she was absolutely intimate with her singing. And she liked to sing, and I say this in the show, that she liked to sing the spine of the song. And I love that because my background is all method acting, and so I really like to get inside the song and tell it as a story. And although I think at one point I had a stronger voice, now I really love creating this mood, this peace that's going on when you're singing. You're creating a moment in time.
Now, the spine of the song, what does that mean?
Well, vocally, to sing, you know, if you took everything else away, you took all the embellishments away from a song, whether it's the instrumentation, whatever, it's like, what is that song truly about? You know, you could say, oh, it's a blues. It's, yeah, but there's so many reasons behind singing the blues. So is it misery? Is it this love of being unhappy? Is it the fact that you actually felt something within that moment and it was so exciting to feel, to be have your passion driven? So it's like each song has a different reason for being, you know, if it's a song of any value.
I was reading an article recently that described a television program that I don't watch. It was one of those talent search kinds of programs, and I believe it was Harry Connick Jr. basically reamed out all of these young singers because they didn't understand what they were singing.
Yeah. Well, there's a producer that I work with in New York. She's been singing her entire life, has written a great many musical shows, events, things like that. And she says to her students, the first thing you do is you sit down and you read the words.
Right.
Read them and get an understanding of what you're doing. Don't put any music to it. And then you come out of that space. And for me, for each song, I write a story. You know, it's like a backstory for every song.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Give us an example of that.
Well, Cry Me a River. you know, there's, it's, I'm trying to remember the movie that it's used in, the girl can't, something. It's used, and there's a storyline in that. But I use it for a specific relationship that I build for why I would then want to sing this song to someone, literally telling them, oh, really, you know, you think you're hurting, I really, really hurt, and you weren't there for me, and you didn't understand. But I write out, I mean, I give my characters names and location, and that song for me takes place in New York City, and it involves certain people. And when, you know, she says, told me love was too plebeian, you know, and I...
Is that lyric in the song?
Yeah. It's really interesting because the song was actually written by Arthur Hamilton for Pete Kelly's Blues, which was a film that was being produced by Julie London's first husband, Jack Webb. And Jack Webb turned to Arthur Hamilton because he was having Ella Fitzgerald sing the song in the movie. And he said, you know, I really can't see Ella Fitzgerald singing the word plebeian. So...
Well, I wonder why not.
I think
because she was such a natural aristocrat.
I don't know, the time, something. So Arthur Hamilton said, okay, fine, I'm gonna rewrite the song. And he tried. He tried for several days to rewrite the song without using the word plebeian. Came back to Jack Webb and said, you know what, I can't do it. That's the word. So Jack Webb did not use it in the movie. And then Julie London was recording her first album. She knew this story. She went to Arthur Hamilton, who had been her high school buddy and beau, and said, I'd like to record this song. And he said yes, and it ended up being her signature song and, you know, put her on the top of the charts for months and months and months. You know, so it's interesting that the word plebeian would be the reason behind that. But so I really do write a whole backstory, and I fill in all the colors so that when I'm delivering that song, it's not just the music, which I can't fill out with all sorts of, you know, vocalese. You know, I think it'd be very different if it was that.
Right.
So it's hopefully within that moment, I can draw the audience into my world, because that's what is so much fun.
When you were on stage singing, I've always wanted to ask somebody this. What are you thinking about? Are you totally in the moment and not thinking at all? Are you thinking about technique? Are you feeling the story of the person who is sad? I mean, what's going on in your head and your heart?
Well, it's different times. Sometimes just being petrified, hoping I'm going to be remembering all the words. When I was doing Company, I totally went up on a song while I was performing. I mean, totally went up to the point where I came backstage and somebody said to me, I've never heard that song sung in Norwegian before. I mean, I just like stuffing that. So sometimes it's just trying to remember the words. But the ideal situation is that you're completely immersed, or I'm completely immersed in the song at that moment, in the story that I'm telling. And having the joy of, I mean, music is spectacular. Singing, to be an instrument at that moment, where it's not only you're doing notes, you're also doing words. To be immersed in that is fabulous. I mean, I think it's the feeling of it, you know. So I'd say that's the ideal. Other times I'm thinking vocally because I know that there's some changes and I want to make sure that I go from what I might call my chest to more my head voice, and making sure I just see the mechanics of it, so that I'm lightening up a little bit on the pressure that I'm putting in my lower voice, so that when I go into my upper notes, I can glide into them, and there's no sound of what would be considered a break. So sometimes there's that technical end, but if I've done enough rehearsal, then I'm not really concerned about that within the moment, and I'm just in the song. And also listening to the musicians. I mean, Burt Dalton, Milo Jaramillo, and John Trenacosta playing behind me. I mean, part of the joy of it is just listening to them play.
We love them.
Yes, we love them.
And we hear them on KSFR.
Yes.
On a fairly regular basis.
Yes.
Do you know, like, when you have those magical moments where it's all working and everything comes together artistically, do you know it in the moment?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because so much so because the audience tells you.
Yeah.
Which is so wonderful. You know, and I'm not funny, but I do joke. And so when you feel the humor coming back at you with people getting it and enjoying their moment of kind of laughter. That's really great. And also when you touch people emotionally, when you see somebody in an audience that's actually moved to a level of emotion, whether it's crying or you can just see it in their eyes, that you've touched another human being, I mean, that's a really fabulous feeling.
We're talking to Beth Kennedy Jones about the upcoming Julie London performances. Now, let's go back to Julie London for a moment. She had an interesting life. She married a couple of times. She had a lot of kids. She lost a number of children.
Yeah, later on. She had five of her own, two with her first marriage, and then three with Bobby Troup. But Bobby Troup brought two children to the marriage, so there were seven altogether. But, I mean, she didn't have a life of tragedy or certainly not a life of scandal. You know, she was really, this was a living for. And this is one of the things that I talk a lot about in the show, because the show, I'm singing, but there's also some video components, and there's biography. I do it from the first person. So I'm talking about the different influences in my life, what made me sing the songs that I did, where I went. And a big part of it is that she was doing it to make a living. And she was not a performer in the sense that she didn't love to perform. Bobby Troup loved to perform. She did not. She was usually petrified every moment that she was singing. But she was able to help her afford to have her children and her home. And that's, you know, that's the story of a lot of us. You know, we're doing certain jobs that might not always be what we want to do, but we need to do it in order to do the things we want to do. And that was a big part of her life.
Yeah. Called being a working artist.
But I mean, there's some performers that are out there that they are living to perform. That was not her story.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, the Julie London songbook, we're not talking about songs that she wrote, but it was the songs that she loved to sing and was known for. And they're by a variety of different composers.
Yeah, I mean, I sing several songs by her husband, by Bobby Troup, but Sir Noel Coward and Cole Porter and Thelonious Monk. I mean, there's just huge range. She actually did 32 albums, so she has sung a lot of songs. Usually Stars Never Fade, which is the company that's producing this, that's what they call their different shows. Like last month it was Kenneth Brown sings the Andy Williams songbook. The month before it was Peggy Lee, but it was the Peggy Lee songbook. So it's the songs that they're known for, and also what I try to do in this show is really show the different kinds of songs that she does. Some people just think of her in terms of, you know, Cry Me a River, and that's just the blues, but she also sang, you know, Desafinado and Sway and very up-tempo and fun things. So,
which you will be doing as well.
I will. I love those songs.
Do you have any favorites?
Well, Cry Me a River is definitely a favorite, and Round Midnight. And I love Sway and Desafinado. But Fly Me to the Moon, you know, and she starts out, she got into a routine that she started out every show singing Bye Bye Blackbird. And she does that just with the bass player, and it's just really fun. And she was really, her favorite time to sing was about 2 a.m. in her house. A bunch of musicians would be over because she and Bobby had all these friends. And they would just be playing, and she would start singing. That was her favorite kind of singing. So a lot of the things that she liked to do, like she did Cry Me a River with guitar. And then there were other times that she did with, you know, full orchestra. But I think that what she loved the best was like really playing with one or two or three other musicians. You know, so there's a range of songs, and there's a range of songs that I like to sing of hers. I think every song in the show I love to sing of hers. I did this show in July at the Playhouse. I've added 4 more songs to it because I wanted so much to sing those other songs.
Right, right. So talk about the Stars Never Fade production. Mm-hmm. So they're presenting all kinds of people, Julie London, as you say, Andy Williams. And what is it, 1 a month?
They usually do 1 a month. Next month they have Marilyn Monroe coming in.
from beyond.
From beyond. In July, Danny Kaye. I loved Danny. I grew up loving Danny Kaye, you know. But he's going to do a show in...
Every single one of them are people we think of also as, you know, primarily perhaps as actors. Not Julie London so much, but...
Well, Catherine Donovan has done Rosemary Clooney. She was in Need O'Day. John Trenacosta, who we talked about before, did the Gene Krupa show. He did that last August at the Playhouse, but he'll be doing it in December at the Cantina. They're always deceased, except recently they did the Patti Page show. Because she had not been seen for so long, they actually had thought that she had passed on. So they did the show, and then she has passed on this year. She passed on a couple months later. But it's usually always people that have, it's stars never fade. It's these people that we adore. I mean, they've done Janis Joplin. In August, they're going to do something called the 27th Club, which is, there's Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin.
People who died at the age of 27?
Yeah, the 27th Club.
Oh, my goodness.
Amy Winehouse, yeah. I guess you've not heard of the 27th.
I've never heard of the 27th. Has everyone else, ladies and gentlemen, heard of the 27th Club?
I think probably you might want to do like a little email blast to have people email you. Because I think, you know, it's like whatever that marijuana date is in spring, you know.
People 420. Know. Yeah.
Like I forget the date, but I know it's there. Yeah. Jim Morrison. There are these artists, these singers that primarily rock and rollers died at 27.
Right. Yeah, it's a tough life.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, Julie London lived into her 80s, so her life is a little bit different.
Right. So we're talking to Beth Kennedy Jones about the Julie London songbook performance, which is coming up. Now, the Cantina at La Casa Cena, for people who've never been there, tell us what that is like as a performance venue.
Well, it's a club. So doing it at the Playhouse, where you're on a proscenium stage, is very different. Plus, the people in the audience, they might have a cup of water or something. But at the Cantina, people come in, they can get something to eat, get a drink. And it's a real club atmosphere, which is what Julie London was known for performing in small clubs. And the Cantina offers that. It has been offering that for 20-plus years at Casa Cena with its nightly performances with all the servers singing, which is great.
I love that.
I know. It's great. And all the people there, they're so talented. They have such a great time, you know, and Bob Fox on the piano. I mean, it's a great venue.
But you won't be serving dinner.
I'm not going to be serving dinner, but, you know, I'm wearing these very high heels, and I don't think anybody would want me to serve them anything.
Yeah.
They'd probably land all over them, I think, actually.
The high heels thing, that's also another Julie London.
I don't know if that was her thing. I think she was more comfortable in sneakers, but on stage.
As everybody is.
But when she first started performing, she'd just perform in like just a black turtleneck and sitting on a stool. And again, this is this thing where I know that she influenced my life, even though I didn't know it was her, was that when I used to perform back in New York City, I used to always wear this Donna Karan black turtleneck, long sleeve outfit.
So you were channeling Julie London.
Yeah, and on a stool. And I can remember somebody coming and saying, everything was fabulous, wonderful, but you've got to wear, with your shape, you should be wearing these knockout dresses. And I think that's what Julie London was finally told. She had to wear some sparkle, so she got into that. So I have some sparkle. I have three different outfits I wear in the show.
Oh, so there's breaks and changes of costume.
And so
you're going chronologically through her life.
I do. I started the beginning, and I tell the story in first person, which is really fun. Which, when I first started working on her, I didn't want to do. It just seemed so presumptuous. But now I really like doing it. I like being her. I like that time period, just to totally be her.
So if Julie London is looking down from beyond the veil,
for the gods,
she's probably happy.
I hope so. I would want to do her justice. Yeah.
Beth Kennedy Jones will be doing the Julie London Songbook with the Burt Dalton Trio on Sunday and Monday, May 26th and 27th. It's a production of Stars Never Fade, and the seatings are at 5:30, the performance is at 6, and I guess reservations are highly recommended.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And so for that, you can call 988-9232 here in the 505 area code. Beth Kennedy Jones, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Loved it. And I'd also suggest that people go to the Stars Never Fade website for more information. They'd like to.
And that is starsneverfade.com.
Yes.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you so much. And we're going to go out with Beth Kennedy Jones singing a song from the Julie London Songbook.
Thank you.
I could only spend an hour with you, if I were free to do the things I'd like to, I want you to know I just couldn't go until I told you, honey, that I love you so. If I could be with you 1 hour tonight, if I were free to do the things I might, I'm telling you true, I'd be anything but blue if I could be with you 1 hour. If I could be with you.
Have a good one.